This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Welcome everyone to the Resilient Hour live from the Islamic Institute of Toronto. My name is Mamoun Hassan. I am honored and I feel blessed to be your host for today, inshallah ta'ala. Today we have a jam, a packed program for you, بإذن الله تعالى. And as you know, the Friday edition of the Resilient Hour is a discussion about the Friday khutbah that happened today. Today's khutbah was delivered by Sheikh Muslih Khan. It was an inspiring khutbah, alhamdulillah, about manners and characters and the relationship between that and Ramadan itself. So before we begin, however, I do this as I do it all the time. I want you all to share this live stream. So if you're actually watching this live stream on YouTube, on Sheikh Muslih's page, on the IIT page, on the Facebook, I need you to go ahead and share the live stream right now. And if you're watching on Instagram, actually, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the first live stream that we actually do to our Instagram, actually through this program here that we're having. So I'm really excited about this time itself here. Ramadan has been an amazing time for us, alhamdulillah, at the Islamic Center of Toronto. We are working on so many different things, and we can't wait to tell you about them. So I'll just wait a couple of minutes, inshallah, for the numbers to climb up and for you to go ahead and share everything, to share the actual live stream itself. And I need to ask you guys all a favor, everybody who's watching this program on your YouTube or on your whatever channel you're watching it on, I need you to comment with the city that you are in right now. We are having a snowstorm in Toronto right now, and I would need you to tell me what type of weather you're dealing with right now, wherever you are, inshallah. Commenting on these live streams is really, really good for the algorithm. As you know, social media just really encourages engagement. It encourages us to be talking back and forth, inshallah. And if you're happy about the programming that's happening at the Islamic Center of Toronto, we need you to share this so we can go ahead and deliver more of it, inshallah ta'ala. All right. And before we begin, it is our habit to also begin our programs every single time with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to bring in our resident qari, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Jhaidar, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Just give me one moment while I pull him on here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Sheikh Abdul Fattah, kif halak?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you Jannah, Sheikh Abdul Fattah. It's a pleasure to pray behind you. Wallahi, I'll be very honest with you. You have you've been amazing this Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And the whole family, actually, subhanAllah, as well. Alhamdulillah. How's your father doing, Sheikh?
Yeah, he's okay. Alhamdulillah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and
him. He's playing home, but yeah, inshallah, we're forcing him to come, inshallah, soon, inshallah.
We can't wait to have him back, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Okay, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, we have about, go ahead and you want to recite for us maybe 7 to 10 minutes, inshallah, if you have the time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Go ahead, inshallah.
Bismillah.
Barakallahu feek.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، رب ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم. صدق الله العظيم وبلغ رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ما قال خالقنا ورزقنا من الشاهدين وبه مؤمنون ومصدقون ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. جزاكم الله كل خير.
جزاك الله خير الشيخ عبد الفتاح ميرا سبحانه وتعالى. بلاش ومبارك الله فيك إن شاء الله.
جزاكم الله بالله.
وسيتنا إن شاء الله تعالى.
الله تحياتي
لك. السلام عليكم. So that was Sheikh Abdul Fattah. He's a resident Qari at the Islamic School of Toronto. He leads our Taraweeh every single night. Alhamdulillah, him and the three of his brothers, mashallah, as well. Mashallah, it's a household full of qurra, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So I just also flashed the QR code here for our 1 of 1,000. Now, we're looking for 1,000 people to donate $300 each. This is an actual really big deal. This is our fundraising drive, and this is a really, really important thing for us. As you know, Ramadan is the time for us to be able to collect our fund really for all the work that you're seeing here during of Ramadan right now, but it's the work that goes on for the whole year. So I do need you to go ahead and to scan this QR code as we are going through the live stream. I'll be showing it little bit by little bit, inshallah, as we are going through the program. And by the way, when you scan it, it shows up on the very top of the live stream, which is very, very cool. And it encourages us to do the same, inshallah. All right. So, the Friday khutbah today at the Islamic Institute of Toronto was delivered by Sheikh Muslih Khan. It was a khutbah on manners, character, and the relationship with Ramadan. Now, Sheikh Muslih is on the road, just so I can warn you all. He's going to be in his vehicle, alhamdulillah. So let me just go ahead and bring him on, inshallah, and then we will see. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Sheikh Muslih, how are you doing? Uh-oh, he's driving. Sheikh Muslih, you're on mute. So do you need to unmute yourself. Mic. Yeah, no problems. As you can all tell, this whole sentence of your on
okay.
Mute happened. All right,
I was
can
trying to pretend I was driving still.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, you are not.
No, I'm not.
We encourage safety at the Islamic School of Toronto.
Yeah, no, I'm parked up. I'm in the parking lot here at the masjid, so I got time. I'm good.
Sheikh Muslih, Ramadan is a very busy time for imams and really speakers everywhere, really, all around the world, alhamdulillah. So it's really a busy, busy time for everybody. Yeah. And everybody out there.
Okay.
Sorry, Sheikh, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's just a little choppy, but I'll try to make out the question. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No,
go
I said
ahead.
Ramadan has been a busy month for everybody. I'm just asking how your Ramadan has been.
My Ramadan, busy. It actually had a rough start because I just got really sick, but alhamdulillah, I'm 95% better. So I'm kind of now starting to enjoy Ramadan. It was a real struggle in the first week or so. But alhamdulillah, man, at the end of the day, you know how it is. We're just happy to experience and to be alive and experience another Ramadan, alhamdulillah. So that's the most important thing.
Barakallah fiqh. All right, Sheikh Muslih, let's get into topic for today's khutbah. So first of all, I just honestly, just the first question is if you could summarize it for us really, really quickly, inshallah. And I kind of want to talk about your motivation behind selecting such a khutbah. When you give khutbah, Sheikh, what's the process that you go through so you can actually think of a topic for it?
So my entire life, I mean, I've been doing it now for almost 25 years, right? And it's never changed. The formula is the same. It's something that would grab my attention, or I would have learned, or some situation in the community that needs to be addressed. that's the starting point for me. It's got to be either of those. If I can't figure out, or I'm not qualified to address a particular situation, then I will start, just out of my own, start digging through some of the issues I know exist in the community, even though they may not be on the front line, they're not be on a mainstream, you won't hear much about it, but I know that they're there. So for example, like domestic problems, family issues and things like that. So then I would just make a choice. Okay, I want to address this issue and somehow tie it into some current event today. And that's really as simple as that sound. You're talking about at least a good week. Sometimes it takes me a month just to put my thoughts together for one subject, but that's usually the approach, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so today's khutbah, you spoke about, so actually let's summarize it a little bit. So you spoke about sincerity, you spoke about sabr, you spoke about the importance of akhlaq, and you tied that very beautifully, Sheikh, to the whole idea of Ramadan. Talk to me a little bit, Sheikh, about the relationship between each of these and the primary purpose of fasting, really, in a sense. Well, like, why did you tie these topics with Ramadan?
You know, I felt, Ma'moon, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about the ultimate thing that we're striving for in Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, is that perhaps you will attain some sense of consciousness. There was a problem in understanding this verse that I experienced, that I, you know, encounter with Muslims each and every day. There's a problem with how this verse was understood by the average layman Muslim, because the wording is so simple, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. I mean, we are talking about taqwa all throughout the year, not just Ramadan. So I started digging into what taqwa is in Ramadan. Is there something unique? Is there something special that we're supposed to be focused on to make that experience different? And also to fulfill what Allah is saying, perhaps we may fulfill in the month. So I just wanted to find if there was a distinction between the taqwa of Ramadan and the taqwa outside of Ramadan. And it just so happened, I found quite a bit of commentary on the subject, a lot of tafsirs I went through, particularly Imam Al-Qurtubi's tafsir. He goes through a long conversation, and basically he summarized three things that taqwa aims to achieve and perfect in Ramadan only. You know, you can do this in different ways throughout the year, but in Ramadan, it's emphasized so much more. And that's what I based my khutbah on today, which the first thing was sincerity, number two was patience, and number three was your akhlaq, not just with Muslims, but with all of mankind. Mm-hmm. So this ayah is aiming for us to perfect, reinforce, and strengthen these three areas in our life. And if we start to see that develop in the month of Ramadan, your sincerity, your sabr, akhlaq, all of it's starting to develop this month, then you know, inshallah ta'ala, Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says that you know that inshallah ta'ala, you're doing things right. And you're fulfilling the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that no two Ramadans should look the same or should be the same. You're fulfilling now this hadith that inshallah this Ramadan, there's a little bit more than the previous and so on. So that's kind of what I wanted to achieve today.
And that's really wonderful, Sheikh. Let me go back to the beginning, okay, if you don't mind me asking, because I kind of always like to break things down right from the beginning of it. The idea of the word, or the concept of the word taqwa itself, Sheikh, like a lot of people always translate this into fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also hear a lot of imams who translate it into consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Break down to me the word itself and what it means, Sheikh, to you, in a sense, and how we can describe this in the simplest way that we can to our viewers.
So, you know, it's not technically wrong to refer to taqwa and somehow interpret it as fear. Because in essence, the most accurate way to define taqwa is consciousness or awareness. Now, if you apply that in your day-to-day life, the things that you're fearful of, you're always conscious of. You're always aware of the dangers lurking around you. You're always conscious of the fact that, okay, at night, I need to lock my doors. I need to close the garage. I need to lock my car. So, and you do that of the fear that somebody may, you know, break into your house or destroy your property. So fear definitely ties in to taqwa, but it's not restricted to. And that's why I tell students that a more comprehensive definition to this term is consciousness and awareness, that you are always conscious of your actions, you're always conscious of Allah's instructions, and you're always aware that you've got to do your best to fulfill those instructions, to respond to that. So you're constantly thinking, you're constantly aware of the decisions you make, that you don't violate the parameters of taqwa. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it's the consciousness and the awareness, but fear and other elements are tied into that definition.
So I guess really the reason why I'm asking this question here, because I guess my perception of the word fear is a negative feeling, right? Like,
yeah.
Or you say, you know, if I'm fearful of something, I run away from it. I hide from it. I'm scared of it, and I avoid it in a sense, right? And sometimes when we try to kind of, I guess we describe our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on strictly fear, right? Like, so mm-hmm. then what do you do? Do you avoid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, we know that being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a complete opposite. It means you actually go towards Him. It means you actually you obey Him out of both, really, I guess, really fear. I mean, fear is a part of it, right? But then also in hope that you'll receive His mercy. I don't know what your thoughts are.
You know, Ma'mun, that's the beauty between believers and everyone else. Mm-hmm. Because fear is a good thing for a believer, because they can interpret that and translate it into something meaningful that gets them closer to Allah. Right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing to be spiritually fearful of the punishment of Allah or the consequence of doing wrong. Because what that does for a believer now is that fear, they internalize it, and it pretty much puts them in a place, and it puts them in a lifestyle where they work hard and strive to never fall into those sins or those mistakes of fear that they will upset the Creator. Yeah. And the consequence of that. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but obviously in the mainstream world, it may not always be healthy for you to live a life of fear and, you know, and anxiety each and every day, because if you don't know how to translate that into something positive, it can destroy you. It can break you apart emotionally and psychologically, but not for the believer. The believer internalizes it to their benefit, and it actually is a way and a method that our religion taught us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I like that. I really like that. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So then let's go into the actual, the three elements that you spoke about, mm-hmm. about your public. So you said the first one is sincerity. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about sincerity and what it means and its relationship to Ramadan, really, in a sense.
Nobody knows that we're fasting. They will assume that because it is Ramadan, all the Muslims are fasting. But in essence, I don't know the person beside me and the next person I talk to, I don't know if they're fasting. Like, I would literally have to ask them or they say it to me, which is really none of our business, right? And that's what makes the sincerity, it comes out and it's illustrated so much more in Ramadan, because this fasting is so private. It's only with you, and the only one that will know whether you're doing it or not is your Creator. I mean, if somebody chooses to tell everybody else, hey, I'm not fasting because of whatever the reason is, that's fine. But if you just stick to what the fasting is, the whole ritual of fasting, the whole experience of abstaining from these things throughout the day, that is a level of submission. It's very unique privacy and intimate submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's only found when you're fasting. So Ramadan aims to strengthen that level of sincerity, so that when you graduate from Ramadan now, you're not concerned about what people might say or think about how much you're doing or not, because you've just trained yourself that I'm only going to do the right thing for Allah. Whether I get credit for it or recognition or not, that is not of no importance to me. And that's, I think, one of the aim behind sincerity and its focus here in Ramadan.
I like that. That's really actually a beautiful way to describe it, Sheikh. I guess really also the idea is behind sincerity is that fasting is levels, right? Like it's not everybody's fasting is the same way. It's based on how you internalize fasting itself. I think there's some discussion about, you know, Somul Awam and some, you know what I mean? Like it's just like fasting is different levels. And the more sincere you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your fasting and stuff and what you abstain from, in itself is actually like your level is increased. That's why there is no real reward for it. That's specific, right?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, just from a practical sense, when our bodies are tired and weak during the day, we're just too tired to do anything else except maybe listen to some Quran, rest and be ready for the night. Like just to be inclined to do something wrong is exhausting, right? Just because you're in that state. So even logically, it's already working on your sincerity to just focus on doing the right thing and being as sincere as possible.
Mm-hmm. Barakallah fiqh, Sheikh. That's actually really beautiful. Everyone, if you're just joining us to this live stream, we are talking to Sheikh Musleh Khan about his khutbah for today. You can check out the khutbahs and all of our khutbahs. Actually, every single program that happens at IIT, we stream it live and we keep it on our YouTube channel. Today's khutbah was delivered by Sheikh Musleh Khan on a man of character of Ramadan. And we are just breaking down the actual khutbah itself into what the Sheikh meant really by it. And we just want to get some deeper understanding of it. You know, khutbahs, Friday khutbahs are usually only, you know, 20 minutes long. And sometimes, you know, as imams and khatibs have to speak in general terms, right, in order for people to just kind of, everybody has to kind of get it, right? So if you have any questions, and this is for everybody, if you have any questions, I put this here, feel free to ask those questions in the chat. Go ahead and type some of these questions for us. I really, really want you to be engaged and actually find out what the Sheikh means when he says every single word. So there is nothing off the table here, Sheikh, right? All questions can be asked.
Ahlan wa sahlan, anything, inshallah.
All right, perfect. Okay, so I guess that's the first one is the concept of sincerity. The second concept that you talk about in the khutbah, Sheikh, was the concept of patience, sabr.
Yeah. I mean, where can one begin, right, when it comes to sabr? You know, you have over 40 plus verses in the Quran talking about sabr. We are the ummah of patience. I say this to students all the time. I mean, there is no prophet and there is no additional scripture after the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ. So we are the final chapter. And that's why throughout the Quran, we're always told to be patient with whatever trial. The reward of patience. The first thing the angels will come and do to the person when they're given Jannah, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma 'uqba ad-dar. They'll come celebrating. Why? Because you were patient. So I wanted to sort of capture the essence of patience, not just with food and, you know, your iftar, but that the whole spiritual exercise throughout the Ramadan, during those fasting hours, is it's mentally and psychologically training your mind that if something doesn't happen now, that you can still be calm and wait and work towards it for when Allah decides this is the right time for it to happen. A really simple example is wanting to get married. Like there might be somebody, you know, found the right person and they're just anxious. They want to get married, but they still got to do this. They got to do that, save up money, parents get on board, and lots of other variables need to be in place. But Ramadan, what it can do now is when you're in that moment, you can say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to do my part. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written this marriage for me, it's going to happen. And inshallah, I'm going to keep working towards it. And whatever Allah decides, inshallah, that will be the time. You start to have a completely fresh new outlook on life and everything that you do and everything that you're experiencing with patience. And you know, the last thing is that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had once said, if patience was a human being, it would be the most beautiful creature in existence. So you just imagine if you live your life with patience, there's nothing on this planet that could morally, physically, emotionally destroy you in any way, shape, or form.
So I want to break down this this whole idea of patience, because So the feedback that we oftentimes get, and I'm very certain you've gotten this right as well, which is the whole idea, is the fact that the word patience itself has been a word that usually sometimes is weaponized in a sense in order for us to tolerate injustices, right? To able to tolerate abuses, to be able to tolerate all of these things. I really want you, Sheikh, to be really clear about this. I mean, with what's happening in the world right now, for instance, a lot of things where people actually just say, you know, you be patient and Allah will give you we'll get forage for you. You know what I mean? Like, be patient and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide a way out for you. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I mean, the thing is, you're patient, but it doesn't mean you do nothing. Right? You still got to protect yourself. You still got to go out there and work. You still got to defend. You still got to protect your honor. Like, you still have to go through the process. But the patience, hopefully everybody understands very clearly. When we say, and when scholars tell us to be patient during these times or what's happening in Palestine and other places, what we're aiming at, what we're trying to get at, is the patience with respect to the outcome, whenever and however that outcome is. That's what you have to be patient for, because we don't know. However, in the process, you still have to do what you need to do to survive. And I think that that's the part that just needs to, whenever we tell people, you know, just be patient through your problem, be patient through this struggle and that struggle, to sort of be very clear, the process you still continue working at and doing your best and try to relieve yourself of the pain and struggle. But when this is all over, or when you get the natija or the results you want, that's what you have to be patient, because that's Allah's territory. We only put together the equation. Allah decides what is on the other side of the equal sign.
Mm. I like that, Sheikh. That's really actually a really beautiful way of putting it, which is, you know, patience on the result, but the work itself has to be done, right? Like you don't delay that kind of work. And that's a beautiful thing, a way for you to describe this. Okay. All right, so that was the second element of it. The third element, what you were talking about, is akhlaq. And I think we're going to spend a little bit more time on this one here, because it is something that you and I have spoken about before, obviously, right? Which is, you know, how we measure someone's akhlaq through their mannerism, through their softness, and through the way that they actually mean. One of the hadith that you mentioned today was in direct relations to how a person deals with his family, and how our akhlaq begin at home. I'm very sure that everybody's demeanors at home are a bit different than their demeanors outside, right? But I guess really maybe you can elaborate a little bit on this point that you made.
Yeah. So this whole subject of akhlaq, this is the area that I'm most passionate about, because I personally believe that akhlaq and etiquettes in general is the strongest tool you and I have to get the message of not just Islam, but what's right, the most appropriate thing or response to any situation must come with good akhlaq. And the thing is that akhlaq is not something you study out of a book. It's not something that is just part of our fitra, our natural inclination, that we know what feels right is right. Allah put that in us. Nobody has to teach us that hurting somebody is a wrong thing. Nobody has to teach us that when you help somebody or you're kind to them, that that's a good thing, because we can just assess how we feel after we do something good. So what I wanted to do with respect to akhlaq is, it just kind of came out. I just said to everybody, like, this is the one area that we seem to always need to be reminded. We always need lectures. We always need different pieces of advice when it comes to our akhlaq. Why? Because it's the easiest thing to lose. It's the easiest thing to forget, easiest thing to compromise. And subhanAllah, and Allah made it the most easiest thing for us to understand and utilize when we need to. So what I wanted everybody to sort of capture in today's khutbah was, Ramadan keeps us calm. You know, if you're going to get into an argument, if you're going to get into a confrontation, if you want to snap and you hold yourself back and then you calm down and then you deal with the situation, that's the akhlaq element of Ramadan, is that it helps you to remain calm and think through things before you jeopardize your fast and the blessings of Ramadan. And how, if you can do it in Ramadan, then you can do it anywhere else. Like, you can do it for the rest of your life. So I wanted people to see that, look at how good we can be in Ramadan. Look how much self-control you and I possess. And it's Allah's way of showing us you have what it takes so you can continue doing this for the rest of your life.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So Sheikh Muslim, this is actually a really beautiful thing that you said, but I guess really I want to not push back, but I do want to kind of like, I guess, discuss some of this things that you said, because like this whole idea of akhlaq, and a lot of times what we hear, what we see is the fact that certain people are just, they're just different in the way that they deal with things, right? Like some people are just a little very short in the way that they behave, right, with things. Some people are just, I don't want to call it rude, but culturally, they may be short in dealings with other people and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
And so there is a difference in how you interpret, I guess, really proper akhlaq between cultures and between people and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, there's so many different examples that I can use, right? So I don't know if you have something to say about that, or something that maybe you can clarify a little bit what you mean when you say akhlaq. What do you mean when you say demeanors? Is it, what is it that you're meaning here?
So I'm really glad you brought this up, right? One word helps us with this situation, right? So just to kind of summarize, we want to now address what might be offensive or rude to one person is not a big deal to the other. You know, so a husband or a wife, they might call each other names like dumb or stupid or something like that, right? But the one who's saying it to the other may say, well, that's how I grew up. We use that word all the time, and it's not a big deal to me. But the one who's being called those names says to them, that was pretty rude. Why'd you call me that? How dare you? That was really insulting. So to one person, it's not a big deal. And to the other person, it is a big deal. So where is the standard? Where you draw the line? The answer to this is absolutely beautiful, powerful, and simple in the Quran. One word, and it's called ma'ruf. Allah tells us throughout the Quran and speaks to us on this concept called ma'ruf. What is ma'ruf? It's a universal standard that is applied in any situation when it comes to our akhlaq. So go back to the marriage example. Even if I grew up that it's okay for me to call somebody those names, ma'ruf reminds me that that's not the standard of how marriages work. You see what I'm saying? Like I have that despite I, it's still inappropriate. Why? Because Islam tells us that's not the way you talk to your family. Khayrukum khayrukum liali. Like, you've got to be the best to them. This is not the best if you're going to use these terms. So ma'ruf is what I think is the best way to navigate when there's different perspectives on what akhlaq is and what is good and what isn't. This one word throughout the Quran settles that. And it really gives a good balanced approach. And inshallah, with ma'ruf, the culture and the society you live in and so on, those are all components that help to define that a little more clearly. But really and truly, the word itself, even individually or within your family or so on, it can really help you and bring a lot of clarity to your situation.
Yeah, but it's still a relative word, right? I mean, just like you're using an example of, our household and everybody else. So, I'll use a personal example. For instance, I come from a household of two people and three brothers, three siblings, right? And our household is really loud. We are very active. And there is so much noise that you go in when you come into our house. And that's not just like the brothers, like even my father and mother, for instance, they're just basically really, I want to use the word lively when we talk about things. So they're joking with each other and playing practical jokes and stuff like it's something that actually happens within our household on a regular basis. Now my wife, subhanAllah, she comes from a household of, she has eight siblings. I remember the first day I stepped into her household, I couldn't hear a sound. Like, there's nothing, like nothing at all to be heard in the house. And to the point where I asked, I said, "Oh, where are your brothers?" She's like, "Oh, they're home. Everybody's home." But at what point, Sheikh, like this whole adjustment happens? I guess really that's really the question that I'm trying to ask.
Yeah,
it took me some time to start to realize, for instance, in my personal dealings, for instance, with my family and my household, and the fact that certain things that I used to say to my sister and to my brother, for instance. And that they used to say to me as well, are just really unacceptable in her household. They are looked at as something really, really terrible. I don't know if you just want to maybe talk to me a little bit about this, because again, you spoke about this whole word of ma'ruf, but that word is it in itself as well is also relative, Sheikh.
Yeah. So look, let's say you and your entire family goes over to your wife's family. Would it be the same? You know, loud, real funny and exciting, or just generally, like, would it be somewhat calmer and more befitting to her environment at her house?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it'd be toned down, but for sure, I'm telling you, like, our version of toned down is still still a notch or two notches above her level of just a norm, right?
Okay. Yeah. So, and why would it be toned down?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you're around strangers. And I mean, that's really the main thing, right?
Yeah.
Around strangers. But
so, yeah. And so that's the point.
Yeah.
You see that consideration, that courtesy, like in my private quarters at home is one thing. But when I'm in somebody else's environment, that is part of you deciding, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to be considerate and I have to be courteous. I'm going to go into somebody else's house and say, well, this is just the way I grew up. So we're just loud and we love shouting. That's just the way we are. No, your iman is going to tell you, you know, to respect, to also find a balance and find a medium between what's okay for you and what's okay for them. That thought process and that consideration is what I think really, really helps you navigate through scenarios like this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that answer of yours. So that actually puts it a lot in perspective for me, right? You know, I mean, I can say a couple of things that I actually push on this, but I'm cognizant of the actual time itself, and I do have so many different questions that I actually want to speak to you about as well, right? But let me move on to the next point here that's been mentioned. So in defining akhlaq, you've made a clear reference to the heart and its relationship with the tongue. And I just would like for you to elaborate a little bit about this, because this was actually really, really cool what you've said here.
So, you know, it came down to a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that nobody's iman will stand up and become firm unless their heart is firm, and the heart cannot be firm unless the tongue is firm. And the hadith continues, but I paused it there and just took those two parts of the hadith, and basically the goal behind it was to really emphasize and work on the heart. You know, if your actions and your choices is one thing, and that becomes somewhat challenging, at least a good starting point towards any positive change for the sake of Allah must start in the heart, right? So it's so important, because if you take a simple example as somebody who doesn't pray and they need to pray, or you know, sister doesn't wear hijab and she should wear a hijab, right? It's one thing when you say, look, let's go to the masjid and you're going to pray. Here's a hijab, just put it on. As opposed to, look, you're going to have to appreciate why you need salah, what salah does for you. And it's comparison to the person who doesn't pray. Just look at the two lives, look at their contentment, look at their level of peace. It's completely different. And that's what I wanted to achieve with this hadith, is that no matter what you do, you're going to lose your iman if you don't have a steady, firm love for worshiping Allah in the heart. like your aqeedah and your intention and your sincerity, if that doesn't come from a deep place of complete love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the heart, then you're going to lose everything else. And Ramadan is an excellent time for people to rehatch and rediscover what is in the heart, to remove anything that is useless or not beneficial to them, remove all of that stuff out of their heart, and inshallah work towards a life of purification so that they can preserve their iman and inshallah live a life pleasing to Allah. That's what I wanted to achieve with that narration.
I appreciate that, Sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Again, once again, for all of our viewers who are watching us, we are now up to close to 150 viewers, alhamdulillah, who are watching us.
MashaAllah.
All over the place, everywhere. We are encouraging you to ask questions as well. If you have to ask some questions to the Sheikh, inshallah, we are speaking about manners, character, and the relationship between that and Ramadan. This was the topic of Sheikh Muslih Khan's khutbah today. You'll find the khutbah itself. It was live streamed on our YouTube, on our all of our social media accounts, alhamdulillah. So you need to go ahead and actually watch this. Sheikh Muslih, let's go on. We have about 10 more minutes, inshallah. Also, as well, listen, another note that I want to let everybody know. Maghrib Adhan today is going to be called at 7:33 local Toronto time. If you're not in Toronto, don't break your fast at 7:33. Again, if you are not in Toronto, do not break your fast at 7:33. I see that's scrolling in the bottom of the... That's not your time. So make sure you break your fast on time, inshallah ta'ala. Sheikh Muslih, I want to talk now practically. Yep. Akhlaq, it's very easy to talk about it from a theoretical perspective. I guess, give me some examples, Sheikh, of... I don't want to call them evil demeanors or evil akhlaq, but like certain things that you think are prominent enough in the community that maybe we should work on. And talk to me about, let's specifically be as specific about them, and how we can practically go about fixing them internally, Sheikh, within ourselves and community.
Wow, where do I begin? Patience is definitely at the top of that list. Just generic day-to-day patience, nothing like Yaqub alayhi salam. We're not looking for that every single day, but just basic patience, judging people, assuming that a person is this or that without any communication, without verifying, without understanding. These are some of the like more prevalent issues that we face and hear every single day, that is the source of so many problems. Just following basic etiquettes and rules, whether it's at a masjid or an institute or a school or where have you, respecting laws, like basic little things. So, you know, for me, it's always about the parking, you know, parking in the fire route, parking in places that are completely prohibited.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I don't know where it comes from, why. For many of us, it's challenging to just adhere by those basic rules. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I don't know if it's a faith thing. I don't know if they're just trivializing and just don't care. But it really, really is a huge problem. And I just feel like these kinds of reminders should happen, you know, after every salah. Like there should be some kind of a hadith just reminding people about the importance of don't block a pathway, don't pray in the middle of a sidewalk, be courteous to your neighbor. And that also applies to the parking lot. Be courteous to the car you're parking beside. Just little things like that, I think, can go a long way. And that's where we just really need to concentrate on.
Mm-hmm. And I like that, but you've also speaking about, I guess really these are external things that happen outside. Can I get some examples from things that happen internally? Because you're also talking about your akhlaq, the best of you are the best of your families, right? The best of you are the best to their families, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, I still want to talk in general terms. I don't want to point anybody out. I do want to say, I think it's really important for us to talk in practical terms. What is it that you can... that we're noticing, and how do we actually work on them from that perspective? Because sometimes it's not an issue of anybody wanting to be rude. It's not an issue of anybody wanting to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah,
it is at times. I don't know. I want to think well of people, and I say people don't know any better. right? And people don't have the tools to get better.
Yeah, you know, Mamoun, it's a training process. It doesn't happen overnight because you're talking about, for a lot of people, breaking certain habits they've been accustomed to maybe their whole life. They grew up in an environment or a home where it was completely okay to snap. It was completely okay to lose your anger. It was completely okay to just be impatient. And now Islam says to you that you've got to be the best with your family first, the people that, you know, for the most part, would annoy you the most because you're with them all the time, right? But here you are now, you're told, you're literally instructed to be the best version of yourself. That is something that requires you to be conscious, to be aware. When you do feel the urge to react or do something you know that's wrong, to be able to pause and remind yourself, if I do this in front of Allah, it's not right. I may be punished. I may be sinful. And I don't want that to happen to me. So all of this on a personal level really goes back to some of the things we tried to address in the khutbah about your sincerity with Allah and your patience with people and the reward that it gets you with Allah. As long as you are aware and you pay attention to how you feel and how, what you want to say and do, and be able to sift out all the things that are wrong, I think I think subhanAllah, you can make a lot of progress in life. And one of the best examples of that is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. I mean, before Islam, his temper got him in a ton of trouble, right? Yeah. People were so afraid of him. They didn't want to go near him or talk to him because why? The last person we want to offend is Umar because we know his temper, right? Even there was a time when Umar radiallahu anhu asked a woman for marriage and she said no. And when he asked the wife, like, people are like, that's Amir al-Mu'mini and you're actually saying no to him. And she actually responded and said, because of his temper, I need him to calm down. So if with that awareness alone, it can go a long way.
Yeah, I actually like the fact that you brought the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, because at times we need to really understand the fact that manners are important in Islam, but they don't really determine the kind of person you are, right? Like the type of religion you are. That means you can still work on yourself, right? So it's not something that you say, "I have bad sit. That's just the way I am. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm gonna stay this way."
Yep.
You know, the best of Muslims had. They were short, some of them were short in temper, but it's something that they actually worked on as well, and some things that people recognized as something that was also negative about them, but they still did a lot for the community itself. They still did a lot for the Muslim ummah.
Yeah, and you know, Ma'mun, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one last thing is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the famous hadith, innama bu'ithtu li utammim makarim al-akhlaq, you know, I was sent here to perfect beautiful manners. That one hadith it almost summarized his entire prophethood in terms of akhlaq. Yeah. The wording itself, like, I came to literally patch up all of the discrepancies and the cultural barriers and the misunderstandings. I came to patch all of that up and put everybody on the same page. So if you take that same principle and apply it wherever you go, that you learn to adapt and understand and consider, you start off refining yourself before you start. And as a result of that, everybody else will appreciate your company, appreciate you. And inshallah, it'll be good for everybody.
Barakallah fiqh, Sheikh Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you as always. Yeah, talking to you is just really fascinating, Sheikh. I genuinely appreciate, first of all, our friendship, and I genuinely appreciate having you around. You're wise beyond your years, Sheikh, even though I know you're a little bit younger than me. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you
joy. Inshallah. I appreciate
you. A minute or two, inshallah, to just give us advice, Sheikh, before we break up for Adhan, inshallah.
One statement of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, it's one of my favorite quotes. This is what I will leave with everybody, and just use it for whatever it means to you. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah had once said, in times of difficulty, when people abandon you, just realize that is Allah's way of showing you that He wants to take care of your problems and take care of you all by Himself. So inshallah, you know, if you can't find the support or there's nobody to turn to or talk to or there's no outlet available to you, just realize and remember the statement of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and the fact that Allah may want you to himself and he will take care of you himself, and as long as you speak to him, inshallah, Allah will take care of everything. I hope that keeps everyone strong, inshallah.
Barakallah fi Shaykh Mala subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless you. I'm just going to add to it if you don't mind. I guess really one of the important hadith of Ramadan that everyone always talks about is, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're hearing adhan, that's me in Oshawa. Don't break your fast yet. So it's 11 minutes, okay? Oshawa is a little bit east of where you guys are. So don't break your fast. We still have a minute or two to go, inshallah. The hadith that I want to share, Sheikh, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala wa nimru'un shatamuhu aw qatalu falyaqul nimru'un sa'im. The continuous being conscious of yourself, being aware of yourself, and this whole self-awareness and being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, like continually. If someone is to come hurt you, self. I mean, don't say I am a fasting person for the other person to realize, but this is, you know, as all the scholars always say, right?
Yeah.
This is a reminder for yourself. I am a fasting person. So I'm not going to respond to him in a demeanor that so-and-so-on thinks. So I am a fasting person. I'm not going to, respond in this. Just a 30-second commentary on that hadith, yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, you did a fantastic job. Again, it just goes back to what our deen is all about. We are not a deen that is built on selfishness. We should be concerned, and we should constantly think about others and the image and the impression that we project on others. And that is a part of our faith. We do not live a life where I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm just going to do it my way. It's their problem. That is not an Islamic attitude to have. And like I said, you know, Sheikh, you mentioned it very beautifully, and I would leave it at that, inshallah.
Barakallah fi Sheikh Sheikh Muslih Khan. It's a pleasure to speak to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I know we have almost a minute before iftar, inshallah, but I'm going to let you go because I know you're outside and people are waiting on you, inshallah ta'ala.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ma'mun. Allah barik you.
That was our Sheikh and our teacher, Sheikh Muslih Khan. He is the Imam at the Islamic Sultanah. And his khutbah today was on manners, character, and Ramadan. It was a beautifully delivered khutbah. I do want to give you a couple of reminders before we go. I think we have about maybe 10, 20 seconds, inshallah, before we do anything else. Tomorrow is our community iftar that's happening at the Islamic Giordano. It is always happens after a lecture that's going to be delivered by one of our shuyukh, inshallah ta'ala. Make sure you come early tomorrow. Come at least an hour and a half before iftar because you will not find space. The past couple of weeks has been really, really busy, alhamdulillah. So come a little bit early, inshallah ta'ala. It's experience community, experience just a loving place to be, and also a place where you can feel good about being, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so it is now time for us to call the adhan. I will go ahead and do so, and it is iftar time for whatever you are, inshallah. For Ramadan. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, inshallah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Until we see you again on the Resilient Hour from the Islamic Center of Toronto. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله